Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. That is right, Stoop Kids podcast, a great way to kill time when you're suspended from school. Stay in school. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and if anybody listens to this while they're suspended from school, you have to let me know. I really want to know. You can find me on Twitter to tell me that, at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Sue. You can find me at school, and that's S-K-O-O-L.
That's absolutely correct. This episode was produced by super producer and whack-a-mole king Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Gigi, I've decided not to leave this town. Maybe I can stay and find some other nice people who will like me and spell kids with a Z. Also with us today is a very special guest. Please welcome back to the show, Lil Nepetiz, a.k.a. Charlie Mackin. Charlie, how you doing today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's an absolute pleasure. We wouldn't have it any other way. We got you here today to talk about episode 89 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 9, going in production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Suspended. Original air date, April 26, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Harold gets suspended and will do anything to get back into school once he realizes being home all day is no fun. And shouting out the folks who made this episode possible, we got that's Frank Weiss. He was the director for this one. And who is that? That's Jonathan Greenberg. He wrote this one. So shout outs to them too. Them two fine folks. And who are we going to kick it to first? Hey, shout out to Harry. We're going to kick it to you first. What did you think about getting suspended?
Hey, thanks, Cody. I love this episode. I think it's one of the funniest episodes in the series. Maybe it's just because I love Harold so much as a character, but also I think a lot of has to be said for Jonathan Greenberg. I think he's written some of the like best and funniest episodes. He wrote Old Iron Man this season. He's written some real bangers like Benchwarmer, Coach Wittenberg, Longest Monday. So he's sort of a big, great Hey Arnold writer, and I think this is one of his sharpest episodes. I really love this idea for a kid's show. I think it's just a really, really smart concept, and it's also like it feels extremely true to life, right? Like I think every kid maybe experienced something similar to this, whether they were like homesick or suspended or what have you. And they sort of realized that like, or even like a snow day, they realized that, oh, I actually like when none of my friends are around and my parents are gone and there's nothing on TV, it's actually like not super fun to be home from school. I think that like, that seems like something that is very true. Even though I played video games, so I couldn't, could not be my experience, but maybe Harold should have done that. Anyway, I think that like, I think the character work works really well here. I think some of the funniest gags in the series are in this episode. It's not the funniest joke of the episode, but I always get a kick out of when Arnold gets suspended and then it cuts to them sitting on the couch together watching the economic summit in Kyoto. Like Harold invited Arnold over so they could watch that together or something when they were suspended. I always laugh my butt off at Harold dressing up like a quote, a little old Italian man to deliver a pizza to the teacher's lounge. I think this is one of Wartz's best episode. When Wartz is sort of philosophizing at the end about how a prince must temper justice with mercy or whatever on the foot of the school, and he calls himself Wartzy, that kills me every time. Harold saying that he's not going to call the principal Wartz Mount Baldmore anymore. anymore, and then immediately saying, I love you, Mount Baldmore, and kissing Warts when he gets let back into school. I think that this episode is really, really well structured. I love that it has like a three act structure, right? Where like first it's Harold being annoyed at school, then it's Harold being suspended and trying to get back, then Arnold gets suspended and they like work on it together. We cover like a ton of mileage for a 15-minute episode or whatever, and it's just a blast to watch. So I think this is like one of the strongest episodes of the season so far, definitely. And I'm really interested to hear what everybody else thinks as well.
As am I. And for that, we will pivot to Emily. Emily, how did you feel about this troubling episode about kids not staying in S-K-O-O-L school?
Well, thank you for asking. currently not suspended, so that's helpful, I suppose. I think this is a really funny episode, which Harry was pointing out. Harold is just a hilarious character. He's one of my favorites. He's, I think, one of the best main characters in the series. And so all of his lines and his line reads are just really funny. And seeing a whole episode of him away from his classmates, away from even other characters, and kind of just like shooting the shit and saying funny things to himself or thinking funny things out loud. And it's just like, I don't know, great character piece for him to sort of shine on his own. I do think the episode, like Harry was saying, it really does a good job of giving you that feeling of like being super bored at home, even if you're just sick or whatever. But you know, all of your friends are at school and you feel that tension of like, well, maybe I don't want to be there. I don't want to be doing the boring stuff, but now I'm here at home and I'm bored. And what's on TV, it's just the damn infomercial or the World Economic Summit that's a multi-day conference from Japan. So also the animation in that is really funny, and the fact that it's just a judge banging on a gavel was the only thing they show from that news conference. That's the only thing on TV on every channel. But yeah, I think they set like the good mood with the episode, and then it's just fun to laugh along with Harold at his antics and his, I don't know, he's just a great character and voice actor in Justin Shankaral, I believe is his name. I'll just throw out some other favorite lines then, I guess. I like that he says. I like when he's digging a shovel. Oh my God, I can't talk. He's digging a hole in the ground with the shovel, and Principal Warts is right behind him and is asking him what's going on. And he's like, yeah, you know, I got suspended because I called the principal a stupid dork, so I'm going to tunnel in. And he's not looking at who he's talking to. And
also, Principal Warts standing over him and introduces himself by saying, that's quite a hole you're digging, isn't it, son? Like, he's so... He's caught him, and it's, oh man, that interaction's so funny.
Yeah, I really liked all of the names he called him that he said he wasn't going to call him anymore, too. And in the subtitles, it didn't say Mount Baldmore, which I do think is what he actually says. It said Mount Buttmore, which would also be another good nickname for Principal Warts. And then Harold's, you know, falling to his knees and being like, thank you, Principal Warts, I love you, school. Beautiful school after he's had just a boring day not being in class with his buddies. Also, can't believe I left this rotten cheese out in the hot sun all morning. And Harold's getting all of that cheese dumped on him in the dumpster while he's trying to sneak around at school. I'm going, stupid cheese. Just like everything is stupid whatever, stupid this, stupid that. It's just a funny episode. I guess I don't have much else to say other than it's a funny one. It's a good one.
It is a good one. And Charlie, you come to us typically a tough sell for fun episodes and antics. So that's, I don't know, how did this episode hit you? Were you able to overcome that this time? I'm just pulling everybody's leg. Charlie, what'd you think of this episode?
This episode is just super funny. You know, it's just like a great light episode. I love that it opens with like Harold's like, he has been reading Foucault. He's like talking about how school is a prison. Like he's all in it. And it's like, he comes around on it by the end, like we've talked about, but I just think it's so funny that he's like out radicalizing his classmates about school at the beginning of this episode. I think that's such a funny setup. There's so many funny, good bits in this one. I think that Harold showing up as the pizza man, but he has a name tag that says Harold on his shirt in his disguise. The fact that like when he's begging Principal Wurtz, they start playing the sad clown music.
The Pagliacci music, yep.
Oh my god, it's so funny. Like it's a joke within a joke. It's so funny. It's just such a good episode for like we are watching Harold's one brain cell try to come up with ideas of what he should be doing next. Like he's just like so surface level coming up with all these ridiculous, crazy, funny ideas. And of course, Arnold comes in and helps him as the voice of reason and, you know, plays Wurtz's game back at him and all of that. But it's just such like a funny character episode for Harold. I love it.
And for Wurtz, I love that how Arnold decides to help Harold is that they go to the library to look up the school code so that they can punch holes in Wurtz's argument, which is based on the school code. And then they bring this to Wurtz and they've got 40 pages of material, Arnold says. And Wurtz is immediately like, aha, but that's an outdated school code. And then he whips out the current school code from within his jacket. Like he's got that memorized and he's like, this doesn't say anything about any of that. It's so funny.
He's all about maybe the first recorded instance of having receipts as like a slang term, not actually like physical receipts. Those have been in existence forever. But I like this episode a whole lot as well. I am also a fan of funny, fun episodes as well as antics. So this really hit a good spot for me. I like how like this episode is like very much an exercise in like in it's Harold's one man, two man show when you get Principal Wurtz in as the sort of counter to like as he's putting a stop to all of these bits. It's very just like writing it down now. Like, I don't know if like I think about silent comedies and like Buster Keaton esque shenanigans and the whole like largely how the episode starts out where like Harold watches Wolfgang get suspended by grabbing a fire extinguisher and shouting like, I'm a fireman, just like get suspended on the spot, like extremely easily. And then Harold tries and initially fails at getting suspended. And then
that's another one of my favorite jokes is when he walks up and just wordlessly tries to squirt Principal Wurtz with the fire extinguisher, and the fire extinguisher is already out of foam from Wolfgang. And Wurtz is like, oh, well, good point, young man. I suppose I should refill this. So like he gets commended for this thing that he's trying to do. I thought that was really funny. I could have watched an entire episode of Harold trying to get suspended and failing too, even though I think this one's even funnier.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the way they went sort of the opposite direction of Harold wanting to get suspended. And then by the end of act one of the episode being like, oh wait, this sucks. And then spending the rest of the episode trying to get back in. It's a really simple premise, but I love how it's executed. I love the like subverting of expectations and the Harold squaring off against the establishment, against Principal Wurtz, the dramatic irony that's sprinkled throughout. And I guess also like this struck me while watching the episode and when I thought about it since after the fact. And obviously I grew up and was this eight, like I was roughly Harold's age at the time when this episode aired and probably when I was watching it. So I can't necessarily speak to this, but I was just like, I can't imagine that this is like a sentiment that people can relate to as much anymore. Echoing Harry's comments, if there is anybody who's suspended from school right now listening to this episode, definitely give us a holler just for your point of view on that, because I gotta imagine in the age of the internet, like, I don't know, with like people being capital O online all the time, like, I don't know, like, I totally get where this episode is coming from, where like Harold's at home, nobody else is at home. Everybody else is at school. Therefore, like, he can only, all he can do is slam dunk a basketball hoop by himself, and, you know, bend that hoop, question mark. A lot to dig into with that scene alone.
Yeah, Harold should be hooping. Damn.
He should be hooping. He's a prodigy. He'd go first overall in the draft, like, next year. But he's not old enough, which is a bummer. Shout out to Harold the Baller. But yeah, that's a sentiment that, without drawing any, like, firm conclusions about it, it is something that exists more, I think, in a time and place. And this episode, incidentally, is dated more just by how the world has changed since then, which is not by any means a bad thing. If anything, it's a good thing, feeding into one of this, like, initial purposes of this podcast, to, like, get into the nostalgia of this all. And just tracking that sentiment in particular was kind of fascinating to me. And it did not take away from my enjoyment of this episode by any means. If anything, it was more fun.
That's a really good point I want to dig into more, Cody. Although I was kind of thinking almost the opposite, because this reminded me a lot of, like, COVID, maybe, right? Where it's like, I could see that like Harold is like every kid who all of a sudden has to work or, like, go to school remote, and probably thought that was cool at first. I'm old, so I was already a professional by the time COVID came around, so I don't know what that's like, but it sucked for me. It sucked for me to have to work all the time at my house. And so I can imagine a bunch of kids were actually like, oh, wait, we're like going to school remote absolutely sucks. Like, I would rather be in school with my friends. I also think I really like this episode from that perspective, because it feels like an episode that could very easily have been preachy, right? Like, I feel like a ton of children's media ends up trying to do an episode about how school isn't all that bad, actually, right? And I remember, even as a kid, I always kind of scoffed at those episodes. I was always a little bit like, oh yeah, this is like a very special episode, like they're trying to, like, teach me something. This episode doesn't come off that way, right? And it just doesn't, because it's really funny in how it approaches that, because it's in fact kind of like hilariously cynical, right? Where it's like, well, like, you might think being in school sucks, but actually being a kid sucks more when you're not in school because you have so few resources and the ability to do anything, and you're gonna have one of Harold's horrible, very bad, no good days. And so I kind of like that idea, right? It, like, is legitimately a compelling point to make to kids about how school isn't that bad. That doesn't feel like it's making that point, right? Because, like, instead of thinking like, oh, this show is trying to tell me that I should stay in school, it's like, oh, actually I do like being around my friends, right? And, like, seeing what my friends are doing all day and, like, having things to do all day. And I think that that's, like, a better approach than a lot of shows would do, and it's really in keeping with the, like, light, fun nature of this episode.
Yeah, and speaking to your point, Cody, about school suspension not really being the same, I do think that it's much more common these days for in-school suspension, where you just have to, like, be in a separate room and do homework and worksheets.
What?
Rather than being in the classroom. That's kind
that's
of how
a thing?
It is now.
There's solitary confinement in public schools?
Yeah, that's the most common, partially because parents don't have access to daycare, and partially because funding is dependent on how many kids are at lunch per school. So they do usually do in-school suspension, which is solitary confinement, pretty much, in schools now.
Okay, now I'm going to go read Foucault and be radicalized like Harold. That's nuts. That is horrible.
And so that has changed a lot. The internet also, you know, makes it so that, like, it would be way more fun to hang out at home than it would be to have in-school suspension. So to Wartz's point about, you know, it's not really about, like, best outcomes for Harold, it's about the punishment, that makes sense. now I'm reading Foucault too much, but it is kind of interesting that it's not, like, dated, you know, but it is set in a very specific time. It kind of reminds me of the Perfect Day episode that we did, right? Where it's like the Saturday morning cartoons and the special, like, the things that were very specific to this, for us, nostalgic era. It's like what suspension was in this time period is what we're, like, watching in here. And I don't think it removes enjoyment, because, like, you're in the Hey Arnold universe, so you just accept the truth that this is what suspension looks like. You don't dig into it. But it is interesting that it's not really realistic anymore about what would happen to Harold. There would be a whole different episode about the antics he would get up to in his separated room, very, like, Breakfast Club.
I liked your point too about Principal Wartz being good at setting the punishment that's fit for the kid, because too, at the end of the episode, Wolfgang is running around again outside and screaming at Wartz, and Wartz is like, that's a suspension, and he doesn't realize Wolfgang's already suspended. So when he says that back to him, he's like, okay, then get, you know, your butt in school, Buster. Yeah, good stuff. Good. What a good disciplinarian Principal Wartz is in, at PS 118.
Well, a prince must temper justice with peace, right? I hadn't even thought about the fact that this is an episode about, like, punishment, but you're right. That is sort of a weird thing to think about, right? And I do think kind of like the satire that is like Harold like accidentally learns the right message, right? But like the suspension isn't really what did that. Like it's just that Harold is like actually a good kid, right? And like so that's an interesting wrinkle here. I wanted to ask the question maybe because this episode reminded me, I think like we talked about, of all of the times where you were out of school, right? Or I was out of school and I was thinking about like what I did. And I don't think I ever had this experience where I thought like, oh, I really wish I was in school. But I do distinctly remember, and this is just like Catholic growing up 101. Every time I wasn't in school, I felt really guilty about not being in school. Like
so
I was
guilty.
Like breaking the law or something. And like, it was illegal for me to have too much fun. And so I would like try not to do fun things because I was afraid that if I had too much fun, I would like get in trouble or God would punish me or something. Good times. So I guess what I want to ask is like, do you guys have any not being in school experiences? First of all, were you any of you ever suspended? And if so, for what? And if you were just out of school, what was your experience like?
Good conversation topic. I've never been suspended. Sorry. I do not have any zesty stories of that nature. A lot of times being out of school, but like for like boring reasons. I had braces twice growing up. And so like orthodontist appointments, things of that, I mean, like what, literally monthly or however often those things were. And so like a lot of times being taken out for like partial days, my mom working in like a medical field, she was always, you know, trying to, you know, finagle schedules in that sense where I'd only miss like the morning, you know, a couple hours of the morning or a couple hours of the afternoon or something like that. And that was totally fine. The times when I did miss were usually, I mean, if I was ever sick, the couple, you know, if I was out due to sickness, I was never really thinking about that. But then I think about times when I went on family vacations back when, you know, the country's economy was, much more, forgiving to the middle class. And also when it was cool to go to Disney World, and you know, you didn't have to wait an hour and a half in line for a ride or something like that. I don't know. It's weird that I remember these, but I like the times when I took work with me, it would just be like, I was accidentally really good about like not letting those sorts of those sorts of thoughts impede my enjoyment. Like if I had a book that I needed to read for class, I would like read it on the way to MGM Studios or something.
Hey,
or like,
can you teach me how to do that right now as
buddy,
an adult?
I've since lost that. I don't know how to do it. I got to go back in time to talk
that
to
that. Would be so nice to have.
To 12-year-old Cody, who was also like in our hotel room at the end of the day, we had like, for family and consumer sciences, we were working on like sports, like canvas bags as a project. And I had this memory of just like, oh, one thing I'll take with me, I'll do like some cross stitching for like a label for this bag. I don't know why I remember that so intensely, but just like little things like that. Becoming a grown up is very complicated, and I do not have the mental health to kind of confront my daily tasks in that same way. But
big mood.
Hey, here's to brighter days ahead. Maybe. How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, never been suspended, fortunately. But I do remember. It's kind of different because junior high and high schools, like being out of school, was very much like, I'm just like streaming anime and watching in bed and like Snapchatting my friends who are in school, like, and getting funny pictures when the teacher's back is turned, right? So like, that's different.
Ugh, we get it. You're young.
It's like, but elementary school was really different. There was a lot more of that, like, I don't know what's available on TV. There's like weird court TV shows that I've never seen before. Like, and stuff
you watch
like
12
that.
Episodes and, of House.
Like, you'd watch House, you'd watch weird court shows, you'd watch Dancing with the Stars, like, just, like, all sorts of weird, like, reality and, like, sitcom-y type TV shows that would just rerun all day, and you'd just be sitting there, like, in three blankets in, like, this haze, watching shows, like, not fully, like, time moves differently when you're sick and you have, like, no, like, idea what time it is. Every once in a while, you'll, like, look at the clock and be like, I'm supposed to be in English right now. Like, you're always trying to figure out what you would be doing if you were in school. And I can totally see, like, Harold going crazy, imagining what everybody else is doing. There's that, like, FOMO of, like, well, what are they saying in class? And, like, who's, like, being, like, the class clown in class right now? So I think there is definitely, even though you're happy that you're not there and you're doing something else, there's always that fear that you're missing something funny or cool or important.
Yeah, you got to get caught up on all the goss the next day then, or whenever you're back. I was never suspended, as far as I can remember, at all my many schools, but study hall felt like being suspended because you weren't allowed to speak in study hall. So even if you're sitting next to your friends, you're like all gritting your teeth, trying not to talk, or you can't even pass notes.
Again, another thing that's just insane, like just horrible, regressive BS in schools.
Kind of a solitary confinement situation. But when I was in elementary school, at my first elementary school in the Milwaukee area, I did live across from the elementary school. So when I was homesick, I remember just like looking out at the school. You could literally see it out the front window. Just like, oh man, all my friends are there. And I'm stuck watching like OxyClean infomercials and soap operas, Days of Our Lives or whatever's on. Though I guess one good show that would have been on, I think back then, would have been 70s Show. But otherwise, yeah, just a lot of soaps and OxyClean ads.
Yeah, it was wild. Like back when you stayed home from school, you felt like you had entered the Twilight Zone, right? Where it was like, I can't believe that all this stuff is still here. And like every time you saw a car go by or something, you'd be like, who is that person? Like, what are they doing out here? Shouldn't they be in school or at work? there was something so surreal about it, I feel.
Yeah, that reminds me that a lot of the infomercials were about like being like getting a job or like people that are, you know, they're targeted at people that are maybe home and without work or kids that are stuck home.
The National American University thing.
You're getting that message over and over even when you're just stuck there.
Hold on, Harry, what about you? Have you ever been suspended? Well, let's hear your crimes.
I honestly don't remember. I got detention a lot.
Okay.
Mostly for, I don't know, like screwing around in class or I think looking back at it now, I feel like I just didn't do homework a lot. Like I would just quote unquote forget to do it or something and just show up the next day and be like, oh, we had homework. And then I would have to like stay in from recess or something. I don't know. I don't remember. Like I was a very conscientious like person who is afraid of getting in trouble, but I feel like I got in trouble a lot. but I don't remember it all that well, maybe because I've repressed it because of how draconian the punishments were, like solitary confinement or whatever. Good God.
Dang, trying to toe the line of legality and getting in trouble regardless. This Harold sounds like the Harold in the episode that we're talking about. Any lingering threads, shoutouts, things we didn't get to that we want to put out there before we ring the bell on this episode?
Shout outs to Mr. Simmons, who totally would have been on Harold's side and would have done like a gentle parenting approach and tried to get him back into the classroom. We know that behind the scenes, he was having that conversation with Principal Wards.
Shout out, Mr. Simmons, for sure. And also shout out to Harold playing basketball, just like thinking to play basketball. And the fact that no one else is around in that scene, like there's not an adult in the world when he's just playing basketball outside at some random park.
Shout outs to the Emergency World Economic Summit in Kyoto. I think that joke is so funny. I have to bring it up again, especially the idea that there are economic summits that would be televised and that would interrupt regularly scheduled broadcasting. What were they talking about? Like, what happened? But I thought that was a really funny joke.
It was a really funny joke. You know what else is going to be a funny joke? When I go to my local library branch and put my bare butt on a copy machine that has been used by the public and make a bazillion copies of my cheeks. So I'm going to do that. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 89B up next, and that episode is called Ernie in Love. Original air date April 26, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Ernie gets a crush on a tall, kind, plus-sized model named Lola. Arnold convinces him to build up courage to ask her on a date to the pier, which she accepts. After the date, she tells him she had fun, but is unsure about another date because of his height. And a special Wikipedia note for this one, guest star for the episode voicing Lola, Jennifer Tilly. Shoutouts to the legendary Jennifer Tilly. And shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Christine Kolosoff directed this one. Steve Vixton wrote the episode. Let's get to some takes. Emily, we'll start with you. What did you think about Ernie being in love? What'd you think?
This episode is, it's an interesting watch. It's fun to watch an episode of Hey Arnold. I think the message is murky and, not great. We watched this one in person also, during our little in-person watch party of the show. And, Harry said something about it after that stuck with me, and like I think gets to the gist of it, so sorry if I'm taking the words out of your mouth, Harry, but the message of it kind of seems to be like, you know, Ernie and this woman, they're hanging out. He stalks her at the beginning, but whatever, now they're on a date later. The message ends up with like, well, it's not okay for her to not be attracted to him because she had fun, and so why doesn't she just go out with him again, or why does she want to tell him, like, eh, I'm not feeling it, which is a weird message because it's okay for people to not be attracted to someone in particular. It's okay to not have chemistry or whatever. It's okay to have a fun date and then also be like, yeah, that was fun, but, you know, maybe friends or maybe let's not hang out again. Which is what Lola in this episode does, with the great voice actor Jennifer Tilly. Really dope voice acting. But so the message of it, where it lands, not great. But the episode itself, I guess, is a unique look at Ernie as a character. But I also just don't like that it opens with him stalking this woman who he's never talked to. I mean, stalking is bad no matter who it is, but Arnold catches him in the trash in the opening of the episode. And he's like got pictures of this woman all over his walls of the boarding house. He's making a life-size or larger than life-size statue of her in his room, writing poems about her. And all of that is before he's ever spoken a word to her. And Arnold, for some reason, comes in and then he's going to help this grown man talk to a woman that he's stalking. Basically, that's the episode that we're watching, right? A weird episode of the series, for sure. Arnold has no place in any of that either. I think their date is cute. And that it's good that he does talk to her, though. Well, no, maybe it's not good that he even talks to her. I don't know. Stalking is just really bad. inexcusable of a thing. But, yeah, I don't know. The message is as whack as the whack-a-mole game. And I like Lola. Lola's great. I don't think they should go out again. And that's it from me on this one.
Okay. I don't want to be a complete Ernie apologist here, but I do think that we shouldn't go too negative on this episode because we are watching the same show that has Helga make a statue of Arnold in her closet and stalk him everywhere he goes. It's interesting, right? Because it's like, because it's a kids show and we can't really specifically talk about attraction out loud, there's kind of that in-between thing where when Lola says that she doesn't want to go out with Ernie again, it's muddled between whether that's because she's not attracted to him or because of other people, outside people's perception of them as a couple. I think the most generous reading of this is that she is self-conscious about what they would look like as a couple, and that's her only reasoning for not going out with Ernie again. I think that's what the writers want you to take away from it. But I think that culturally, because there's such a thing around women not being allowed to say no to nice guys and attraction shouldn't play a role in who women date and who they don't, that subtext is just like there, and no matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. So that kind of becomes a problem. And we don't even have to talk about what this would be like if the roles were reversed and there were a conventionally unattractive woman trying to get with a male model. Like, we all know how that would go. So the gender situation and the like subtext that's cultural, that even though we're not allowed to talk about attraction, it's still there. It muddles the message of it, which I think is supposed to be like, do what makes you happy, regardless of outside perceptions, be with the people who make you happy, regardless of, you know, like how it looks to the outside world. I think that's what they were going for. I don't think that they hit it completely because of those other factors, but I really love the Lola character. Like, not even just because of the voice actress, even though she's so good in this role. I love the little humanizing touches that they do to her about like how often she eats and about like all of the little, like her vocabulary words and the way that her sentences go on a little bit longer than they should. And she repeats herself multiple times while she's talking. They just do a really good job of making her very easy to love so that when Ernie goes on and on about her and then you finally get to the date, you fall in love with her too. I think that they did a really good job of making it not be like, oh, she's just a model and Ernie loved her for her looks. Like, they show that like she's worth loving and she's very cute and there's a reason why Ernie would want to be with her continued. So I really like that aspect of the episode. It's really cute.
Speaking of really cute, Harry, what'd you think of this episode?
Wow, thank you so much, Cody. Yeah, I think I sort of fell along where the lines of Emily, but which is too bad because I really love the first two thirds of this episode a lot, to the point where I remember this one, right? From like my childhood, I remember loving this episode, not just because of Jennifer Tilly. Like, I think that date is like legitimately brilliantly written. It's so cute. It's so endearing. Some of Jim Lang's best work in this episode, in my opinion. I really love Lola's theme and like the music behind the date. Like, it's just like really gorgeous, really sort of like, it's got this great sort of like dreamy ethereal vibe that works really, really well for this. Ernie and Lola are like such developed characters in like 15 minutes. Like, they really feel like two adorable people who would be good together. I think that maybe my biggest problem with this, Emily characterized it pretty well. I also just like wonder, like, why did the POV have to be following the person who is aggrieved, right? Like, I feel like this episode would maybe work better if the shallow person was the person we were following instead, right? Like, the person in...
Tell you why.
Yeah.
Because the writers were men.
Right. Well, but that's the problem, right? Is that, like, I agree with you, Charlie, that, like, I think that, like, this is not only about sort of, like, doing what you do despite like what people think. It's also about like Ernie learning to value himself, right? Not just for his outward appearance, but for his inward appearance, like internalizing what Arnold told him, right? And saying like, you know, I actually do have a lot going for me and like people would be lucky to date me. All of that is fine and good. What is not fine and good is the misogynistic tilt that it takes where he gets to like give her the nice guy incel speech at the end of this episode, where he like stands up to her and like shows her that like actually, like, you are obligated to continue dating me because I was nice to you. It's like, that's ridiculous, right? It's like, people cannot date for any reason, no matter how much chemistry they seem to have with somebody else. It's never a problem to say, no, I don't want to keep going out with you. To say that and to allege that is a really dangerous and upsetting precedent to set, right? And I really hate that, like, that's where this episode ends up, that we have to, like, create this false dichotomy, right, between Ernie, like, in order for Ernie to feel, like, internally, like, more okay with himself, we also have to make Lola eat it, right? Like, we have to, like, rub this woman's face in the fact that she's being shallow, you know? And it's like, I, like, this punishment of women, first of all, is completely gendered, would not ever be portrayed this way if the roles were reversed, like Charlie said, and also, like, just sets up a really dangerous thing, right? And, like, I know that this episode sort of, like long predates the, like, codification of the incel idea and the sort of white knight and the incel positioning that's on the internet, but, like, it's really difficult not to read it as explicitly that in this day and age, right? And, like, that's like a real problem for this episode, especially because they never really push back on it, and, like, they make Lola sort of, like, eat crow and return to Ernie and sort of be like, actually, like, I made these mistakes, right? When in fact, like, she didn't really do anything wrong, right? Even if the episode wants us to make, like, wants us to believe that, like, she's really being shallow and just worried about appearances and is actually attracted to Ernie. Like, not going out with somebody because you're afraid of, like, what it'll look like to go out with them. Like, maybe that's a problem that you have, but it's not a problem that, like, they have any right to call you out about. Like, that's not the issue here. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I really like the first two thirds of this. The stocking thing is a good point. It didn't really bother me just because it felt so, like, obviously exaggerated that it was sort of, like, almost like just a metaphor, right? Or they were just sort of, like, gesturing at something in, like, cartoon language. Though it is a really good point that, like, also you should not stalk people or be obsessed with people, especially before you talk to them. Like, that's wild. Like, don't do that ever. And it's not cool that they portrayed it that way either. But yeah, so ultimately I think that this episode is, like, kind of unfortunately, and like, that's why this is, it's kind of a fascinating episode, right? Because, like, I don't have a problem throwing out something like Summer Love, right? Because that episode is just hot garbage that I don't like on any level. Whereas this episode, like, kind of goes some places that I really like and has some legitimately very moving and very good stuff happening in it, like the date. It just ends up sort of, like, again, because the writers are men, like Charlie said, like, it ends up conflating this sort of, like, it ends up conflating this interior sort of journey that Ernie goes on with the necessity of, like, making that journey manifest through a woman in a way that it shouldn't be, and in a way that becomes much more problematic and much more about a very different idea than I think the episode even really wants to be about.
That's true. And I'll just start by saying it cannot be reiterated enough. Stalking is very bad. Don't do it. Unless you're in grade school and, like, have a class with them, like, you've established that, then you can have a shrine of them in your closet. Then it's fine. That's the only amendment to that rule. So now that that's out of the way. Yeah, I think I still, when I think about this episode, I still come back feeling positively about it. For all, and y'all have articulated the necessary conversations that we need to be having about kind of where this episode lands. You've articulated those very well. I too feel that, you know, having a send off from this episode where, and screw it, armchair director putting that hat on, but having us work our way toward a more equitable landing spot where both of them are clearly, just from the episode's, I think, characterization of these two people, Ernie and Lola, that they have their own respective self-image problems, where they feel subconscious about their image in various senses. And if that were, you know, if the lead up to them going on this date, you know, if like it stems from Ernie feels a sense of inadequacy, and that's part of the reason why he's nervous to ask her out in the first place. And then it, you know, maybe we leave this episode and each of them are, because of their own, they've got their own individual perceptions of themselves to work out before they could be content with another person, instead of pitting it as Ernie versus Lola, making Lola eat crow. If I'm remembering that, it's been a while since I've heard that. Well done, Harry. Eating crow is bad, though. Also, don't do that. Nobody should eat crow. That's rule number two. Maybe if that landed differently, then I would feel even more positively about this episode. But I think one of the reasons that I still come away and I would say that I like this is because how earnest of an approach that this episode takes. And it's already been gestured at, but the fact that Arnold is not at the forefront of this episode, which is really great. He does have a few like important roles that he plays. That conversation that he has with Ernie, where he's just boosting him up. I meant to go back and like get the, like the compliments that he deals out to him, but that was just very touching and warm.
Also
and
super well acted. The voice actor really kills that speech.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like that's that as a sort of contributing to the tone setting for this episode. The fact that like Ernie being, you know, a shorter man is not like it's not played for a joke this episode. This would feel like a rotten episode if that was like if the I don't know if it like. If from us looking at it, because we're like really we're in it, we're witness to the entirety of their date, which is very adorable. And like, that's a great sequence. But the fact that there is like, that there is like an earnest attempt at showcasing this relationship and not, you know, not playing like the image discrepancies, excuse me, for laughs, unless I'm forgetting something, in which case totally correct me. But that's a sentiment that I really did appreciate about this episode and why I feel, ultimately, I think maybe better about it than some of us, understanding that there was one or multiple things that definitely were lost in translation, which are kind of regrettable, but I'm maybe willing to forgive it because of how close it is to being like, if the nuances were just a little bit different, we would be coming away with different things from this episode versus Summer Love, which I feel like is just systemically rotten and bad and not a good episode. But that's just me.
Yeah. You know, I really liked what you said about how Arnold complimented Ernie. And a thing that I really liked about it was that it was yes and. It wasn't like, no, no. Like, it wasn't that, like, no, you're not that short. It was like, yes, you are short and you have a big nose, but, you know, you are also. And, like, it goes on to that. I think that Ernie accepting himself and that he is worthy of love, and then later on in the episode that he doesn't want to be with someone who is ashamed of him, are like really great takeaways for Ernie. And I think that Lola realizing that she should be with who she wants, regardless of how other people view it, especially since she's a model and a very visible feature, like public person, is a really good takeaway from her, for her. I just think that because Lola only mentioned that when she was rejecting Ernie, it's not clear that that's the real reason. If they would have done something where like they're together and she's really loving it, but her friends laugh at her, maybe then that would have been clear. Like it's an outside force. And also like Harry said, like if Ernie didn't feel the need to basically yell at Lola and tell her why she should be with him
like
anyway,
straight up like, shames her. Right. And it's like a yes. really gross moment.
And it's like, Ernie can learn that he is worthy of love and that he doesn't want to be with someone who's ashamed of him without him going after the person who's ashamed of him. Like, he could very much be like, I mean, at the end, even if Lola comes back to him and he's like, I don't want to feel less than, and I don't want to feel be with someone who's ashamed of me, so we're not going to go out again and like switch it. Like, those would have been both great takeaways for those characters. I just think that it got messy because they didn't have a clear enough reasoning for Lola if that was really what they were going for and it wasn't about attraction. And Ernie just like, again, it seemed like because they needed Ernie to vocalize those things out loud, he said them to Lola. And it just, it really came off as a personal attack rather than like a self, like, you know, like he's reevaluating himself in a new context. That could have been a conversation with Arnold. That could have been him deciding to go out on a date with somebody else. Like, it just didn't need to become a personal thing. Yeah, I think maybe I'm judging this episode based on what it could be rather than exactly what it is, which I tend to do. But I think that it's got a good core to it. And I do like their date so much. So it was definitely when I was looking at the season 5 episodes for which one I wanted to guest on, because I have Lil Nepeta's privileges. I picked this one because I remembered Lola. And I remembered when I was a kid loving her and not really remembering why. She just made an impact on me. And so I think that that's worth the episode sticking around for, just for that.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not just the fact that Jennifer Tilly is like one of the most charming voice actors who ever lived, but like Lola is legitimately super charming. That was really well characterized, Charlie. I think that like the reason why I have more of a problem with it, I guess, and why it's hard for me to even sort of like get to a place where I can appreciate this episode on its own merit, is because the sequence and the character arc that Ernie goes on is so like eerily reflective of real life, right? Which is that like dudes like Ernie actually do, like the thing that ultimately happens in this episode is he makes the logical leap from I feel this way to the reason I feel this way is because of women. It's like your fault, like specifically Lola, as a stand-in for like all of the women who ever rejected him, whoever made him feel less than. And like that is literally the incel ideology, right? Is that like, oh, like I feel this way about myself, but the reason I feel that way, this way about myself, isn't because of factor A, factor B, or like not, it's not something I have to work on myself. It's not like personal failing is too harsh, right? But it's not like something that I have to deal with. It's not my problem. It's actually the problem of the people who are making me feel this way. And so he turns Lola from a person, right, with a subjectivity and with her own issues that are clearly expressed in this, into this sort of like stand-in for all of the women who have ever done him wrong. And like that's like the definition of misogyny, right? And like I agree, I think that probably like you're right that like Ernie basically just needed to have this moment where he stands up for himself and internalizes the values that Arnold has been trying to teach him. But like it's just because he says it to Lola, it's not what that is. Like instead, right. This is him like realizing that he can blame his own sense of inadequacy on other people and take it out on them. Right. And it's like, unfortunately, like that is actually what happens in real life. Right. Like that is what inceldom is this sort of like arbitration of your own issues onto other people, right. Which is tough.
I mean, I don't know a single woman who hasn't had a conversation with a man where they tell her that her not wanting to date him is a moral failing that she has.
Because they're like, such a nice guy, so right? Common. And like Ernie literally uses the term nice guy, which again, like this is before the term
very
nice guy became an actual like dog whistle. But like the reason why it became that is because people like Ernie used it for so long, right? And so it's like, oh, like this is just I don't know. It's just like very much, It's a fascinating sort of sociological episode, right? Because it sort of demonstrates how this thing that is actually like really important and really good can kind of become yet another sort of like way to be regressive and to punish women for their perceived faults in a misogynistic way.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen an episode of this with Patty. You know, like wanting to date somebody and not being like traditionally attractive feminine enough, or, you know, if it had to be an adult, somebody else. It's dated a little bit because of just all the cultural stuff. But I mean, even back then, I think that a lot of women watching the episode, adult women, would have seen this. I do wish that they had a woman perspective in the writer's room maybe for this, but overall, I don't hate this episode. You know, I don't hate it. I just wish that it was a little bit better.
Yeah. Also, this is kind of an aside, so maybe a shout out. But and again, this is a very like early 2000s thing, but it is also like pretty unfortunate and sucky. But like Lola is not drawn as a plus size person. Like we're repeatedly told that she's a plus size person. She just looks like that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, right? Because of like the representation of plus size, like fat people in media and like how, I don't know. It was just like, yeah.
Unfortunately, Lola actually might be plus size, because I think your definition of plus size is different than like the fashion industry's definition of plus size. I think plus size is like size 18 and the average American woman is size 14. So plus size is actually not that much bigger than the average woman.
Wild.
It's just that fashion is like size 0 and 2. But I did think that when I first watched her, I was like, oh my God, she's like so like beautiful, curvy, like tiny little itty bitty waist. But it's like, yeah, that's just what the fashion industry thinks plus size women look like.
Yeah, true. I'm sorry. I'm still, there's a lot to digest here, and I will take this all into consideration when I ask Lorenzo's mom out on a date. I don't know why she would say no, because I'm a pretty nice guy, but I'll let you all know how that goes. Any other lingering threads or shout outs from this episode that we want to get out there?
I would say shout out to the huge platform shoes that Ernie wears before the date and then he changes. But they're pretty sick shoes. And shout out to Women Who Do Write episodes and episodes of cartoons and episodes of this series, which is not this episode. But, you know, they're great when they do write the episode.
Shout outs to not bringing your date a bouquet of flowers, then making her carry them around all day at the boardwalk. It's so annoying. Don't do that anymore.
Shout outs to Whack-A-Mole, shout outs to Lola's adorable habit of trying to better herself by looking up words in the dictionary. I think that's such a brilliant piece of writing, right? Like how endearing is that? Like, in the fact that it keeps coming up and they like bond over it. It's like, what an amazing way to like characterize a person in like a likable terms in like 20 seconds or less, right? And shout outs to Ernie giving Lola nuts and then taking his nuts back after he makes his big speech. An unfortunate scene, but that was pretty funny when he's like, and I'm taking my nuts back.
Yep. And one more thing. I'm taking my nuts. Beautiful line reading and beautiful episode of the podcast. If I do say so myself, Charlie, you contributed to that. Thank you for joining us. If you could please remind us where people can find you and or if you have anything that you would like to plug for folks who might be listening to this. Not might. The people are listening to this. So you better tell them.
Sure. I've been Charlie Mackin. You can find me on Twitter at CharlieMander13. And I'll plug, I'm doing a design talk soon that I will post on my Twitter. So if you're interested in puzzle design at all, you can find it on there.
Heck yes. That was my clean... no, you know what? I'll cuss. We haven't had to do one of those for a while. Charlie, fuck yeah. That's awesome. Kudos to you. I've got the timestamp down. It's okay. In the meanwhile, thank you very much, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that is kids spelled with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
I've been Emily Suey. You can find me at Emily Suey on Instagram.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down to there. She would merengue and do the cha-cha. Dun, 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 dun. Good night, everybody.